Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Mondays. Just became Mondays. Mondays just got more exciting. Powerball now draws 3 days a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Play now.
Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.
Reviewers, what's good? It's your man Benny Blue, and good God almighty, football season is back. And guess what? That's right. The Review has created the For the People League, NFL.com fantasy. That's right. You want to make sure you sign up. 16-team league, only a few slots left. The deadline is September 5th. You want to get in on the action? Make sure you DM us or send us an email to jbandbennyblureview@gmail.com with your email address to get that invite, the exclusive invite for that league. And guess what? If you happen to somehow manage to beat the Savage Duo, the prize, you get to be a guest on the podcast. That's right, so make sure you sign up now. Again, shoot us a DM on Instagram at jbandbennyblue or shoot us an email to jbandbennyblureview@gmail.com right now.
Like, if your hamstring ain't falling off the fucking bone, your leg ain't broke, I don't know, like, you should be fucking practicing. Like, straight up. Like, that shit is weakness, and that shit is contagious as fuck. And that shit ain't gonna be in this room, bruh. That shit been here in the past, and that's why the past has been like it is, bruh. That shit is over with here, bruh. If you can fucking practice. You can't get no better. Ain't nobody gonna get better by being on the fucking sideline if you ain't fucking hurt. If you not fucking hurt, you gotta fucking practice. Because you make other motherfuckers work even fucking harder. Now they at more fucking risk of getting hurt because you don't want fucking practice. Because you being a bitch. Straight up, man, that shit is fucking real, bro. That shit ain't happening here. I'm just letting y'all niggas know that shit not fucking happening here. I'm hurting, I'm tired, just like every fucking body in this motherfucker. But I ain't taking no motherfucking days off because I can't be fucking great that way. That gotta be the fucking attitude and the mentality all the fucking time. All that weak shit, don't fucking live here no more. That shit don't exist.
What's good, reviewers? We are back. It is the JB and Benny Blue Review. Holy shit, for your listening pleasure. We appreciate you rocking with us. That giggle that you hear is from a man who has some grays in his beard, and he ain't ashamed to admit it because he's a fucking distinguished gentleman. He's getting sleek, live in the desert. I am joined, of course, by my partner in crime, one half of the Savage Duo, Jeremy J.B. Bridges. Sir, how are you? First and foremost, we had a gay old time. Let's run about once again, salute to our friends, friend of the show, Chad Monique. They had their birthdays. We got, yep, Bizzleman fell in real quick. He fucking like he forgot his keys. Came back to the old City of Angels. We had a gay old time out there at Rush Street in Culver City. Shout out to them. Shout out to that one. Shout out to the dude who kept the umbrella fucking moving to keep us out of that goddamn heat. God bless his ass. But I'm sure, you know, he probably got a nice decent little tip there from the whole table. So there you go. You know what I'm saying? You put in that work to get that scratch on the back end. So there you go. We had a good old time. First and foremost, if you're first time checking us out, please make sure to subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, CastBox, Spotify, and 5-star rate. You see the goddamn paw. 5-star rate us, goddammit. That's how we move up the charts. That's how we get more listens. Also, shout out. We've been getting a bunch more people liking our Facebook page. Shout out to all you guys. I'm going to try to do something special for you guys, showing us love. They've been popping in just in time for football season. And speaking of fucking football season, goddammit, we have football, goddammit. We only have a few slots left for our fucking For the People Fantasy League. And that's right, if you didn't catch it on our last episode, episode 92, if you somehow managed to beat us, which I gotta be honest, I don't like your chances, but if you find a way, hey, you know what I'm saying? The ref might swallow his whistle. It might be a bit. This new helmet rule, which we'll get into, might fuck everything up. Gamma's legal. You never know. Them greasy palms. You never know what's going to happen. Guess what? If you win, you get to be a guest on our podcast. Good God almighty. That is worth its weight in gold, goddammit. So, yep, exactly. Yeah, lucky you. So, hey, if you win, there it is. So make sure to subscribe. Make sure to join that league. If you want to join that league, make sure to DM us on Instagram or shoot us an email, jbandbennyblue@gmail.com and jbandbennyblureview.com for all your past episode needs. Follow us at jbandbennyblue on social media. First and foremost, man, for the new reviewers joining us for football season, man, any special shout-out salutations for the reviewers out there rocking with us as we approach fucking episode 100, goddammit. Yeah, man, you tend to get that feeling like 2 weeks, 3 weeks out from the regular season. I don't know what it is. Like you just get, it's just that whether you're playing, not playing, you're just a casual fan, you get that feeling in your stomach like, yeah, buddy. Oh, we back in this bitch. Yeah. Exactly. So reviewers, if you've been rocking with us for a couple seasons now, you already know we're going to be coming back right in your fucking grill with these Savage picks coming up starting. We're going to be back on our weekly schedule once the regular season starts. So do not get it fucked up. We will be with you every step of the way making this shit happen. I can't even believe it's our fucking third fucking season. I can't believe that. This is the biggest time of year for us, man. This is real shit. Season 3. But, yes, my bookie, shout out my bookie, everybody rocking with us. Yeah, man, we appreciate it because yeah, this thing is fucking it's a slow train, but it's a show train. You know what I'm saying? We still moving. So let's do this. We need to sometimes it's training camp. Cats are learning. They're learning playbooks. They're getting the chemistry with their team. They're kind of taking it back to basics.
Right.
So we need to take it back to school a little bit. Let's take it back to college because not only the NFL is fucking twerking, NCAA is back. There's 11, some shit
11,
shaking.
11 days away from kickoff, NCAA kickoff.
That's right. So right now we're going to do a little bit of what we call some college football savage preview.
Mm.
And before I even cue the music...
Mm.
I told JB about this in the padded production meeting. Mm. I ain't just going to cue the music. You know, oh boy.
Take your time.
You know, college football fans, as JB said, of course, we talked about my cardiac kitties. College wise, of course, he's Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
And for me, it's a hail to the victors. And I know what you're thinking, you know, football fans, and you're right to criticize. But you know what? Boy, I tell you what, they throw so much, JB, they throw so much dirt on our name, they forget what happens around us with our rivals.
With y'all's predecessors.
Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer.
That's right.
So, production, what I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to cue the beat for Ether.
Mm.
Right now.
Mm.
Ohio State.
Oh, hi, oh.
You rat motherfuckers. You greasy, bitch-ass, wannabe sons of bitches.
Ooh.
Let me remind you of something, just keeping it on the field right now. Because trust me, I'm going to let you have it about this shit off the field.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I don't give a damn how many years you win in a row in the big game. Never forget.
Never forget.
You never ever forget. When it comes to the series, you're losing.
People never forget.
When it comes to overall wins, everybody's losing.
Everybody's losing.
We have the most wins in any program in the NCAA, period.
Mm.
And when it comes to championships one-on-one, you're losing.
You're losing.
So you can get all hype about, Urban Meyer, that. Until you eclipse us in how many times you've beat us as opposed to how many times we've beat you.
Right.
I don't want to hear it. You enjoy your life in Columbus. You enjoy your life being second rate to everything we do. Because, oh yeah, I could run down the list, and I'm pretty sure I've done an episode before.
Yeah.
Where everything you have is a bootleg version of what we have.
Damn.
And hell, fuck it. Because I want to give it to y'all boys so badly because of how much you're fucking up off the field. I'll remind you one more time. We have Floyd Mayweather. You have Adrian Broner. We have Eminem. You have Machine Gun Kelly.
Wow.
We have Magic Johnson. And you have the man who purposely signed with the Lakers to learn from him,
yeah.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
So before you sit there and puff your chest out
and
act like you got this dominance, like you got this streak over us.
Wow.
Oh, you better look long and hard in the mirror. Because everything you want to be, we already are.
Reality check.
Don't ever play yourself.
Reality
check.
Do
not ever play yourself.
Reality check.
I'm firing shots not only at Ohio State, But I gotta remind the people of who the Big Blue, the Maize and Blue, the Gold Blue, who their rivals are. Now, the most obvious one is, of course, the Buckeyes.
Right.
But people forget, you also got Penn State, and you also got Michigan State.
Right.
Now, Bizzleman, the three things those teams have in common...
It's controversy.
Is that boy? Is boy that controversy? Controversy like Prince.
Ooh, hey, it's like days of our lives.
Days of our fucking lives, ain't it? Let me tell you something, reviewers. In case you forgot, because I know it's been a few years, but in case you forgot, during that time, boy, you couldn't turn on a TV without seeing the shit. In case you forgot, Penn State was out here raping kids.
Mm.
Michigan State had a fucking gymnastics coach that was out here putting bodies on the scoreboard,
yes.
Like over 100,
mashing,
like he was out here really fucking groping and being extracurricular, to use a academic term, if
mashing.
You will. And now you got Ohio State and the receivers coach fucking throwing his wife down a flight of stairs or some wild shit. Ordering a bunch of dildos to the coach's room. Oh, yeah, that's not fraudulent. That really happened.
He busting down, you know what I'm saying, faculty and shit.
Like, that really happened.
Crazy.
So before any of you bum-ass motherfuckers start opening your mouth about, oh, Michigan ain't one shit, blah, 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 you better fucking clean up your own goddamn house.
Better recognize. Sweep around. I don't care how... The term goes, sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
100%. So I had to clear that up. But oh, don't get it twisted. This is equal opportunity because I will not accept mediocrity. The review does not accept mediocrity.
Not
understand, people.
We're not
that's
trying
why
to
be the best podcast in the game. We ain't trying to hear that shit.
And we don't condone rape by any shape, form, or fashion, creed,
gender. No.
Bro. Yes. And especially
get
not,
that
you
shit
know what
together.
Saying, the way that the shit was going down at Penn State.
Exactly.
You know, faculty members, you know what I'm saying, fucking students. I ain't in with all that, man. That shit ain't worth a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
so
you're right.
Keep rolling, baby.
Clean that shit up, Ohio State. But when it comes to football, oh yeah, the Etherbeat's still going. Be clear.
Mm.
JB's talked about it. Hell, JB basically had his own segment last football season about this man. Jim Harbaugh, let me tell you something, fella. Overall, while I'm happy that you came to our program, I think ultimately you've made it better than what it was because we were in a bit of a lull. There was a down period for the program. Let me tell you something, you fucking milk drinking, build your fucking bones. Goddamn chicken is a fucking scary animal. Whatever fucking.
Yeah, you don't eat chicken because it's a scary animal.
It's a skittish animal. Whatever. Jim, I don't want to hear that shit. Put fucking iron your khakis. And let me tell you something. Your leash of riding this wave of I'm Jim Harbaugh, it ends this season. And let me tell you something. I've heard good shit about the Shea Patterson kid, the transfer from Ole Miss.
Right.
But, brother, I'm tired of you bringing in these fifth-year seniors. What is the point of over-recruiting quarterbacks if you do not let these motherfuckers play?
Right.
And develop these cats. You're bringing in cats who have spent their entire college career somewhere else, and I don't care how mature they are, how good they are, you're expecting them just to fall right in like they're already in the league and pick shit up.
Right.
Let's be clear. All these cats that he's had as these fifth-year seniors, these motherfuckers aren't going out there and balling out like a Carson Wentz or Deshaun Watson when they get to the league. These cats are backups if they're still in the league.
Right.
So, Jim, for the love of God, stop putting your faith in these motherfucking fifth-year transfers. You get all these blue-chip guys. Put it all together. You keep changing coordinators every year. Then you got DJ Durkin fucking going over to Maryland and a fucking kid dying. That's a whole other conversation.
Right.
Because that's fucked up.
Some wild shit.
Jim, your leash is coming to an end, fella. If you do not... I'm putting on wax right now. If you do not make the college football playoff this year, I don't care if you don't win the title.
You're out of there.
You need to go.
You're out of there.
Because you set the expectations by how you command yourself and what you did before you got to Michigan. Hey, props to you, fella. You're a good coach. But sometimes a good coach doesn't always have the right situation. And yes, I understand that you are, in fact, a true blue Michigan fan. That's why I think people can accept you, quote unquote, building up the program.
Right.
But dude, you're in what, your fourth year? I believe, if I'm not mistaken. That's yeah. enough for a full recruiting class. I do not want to hear the excuses. If you win 9 games, 10 games, the fuck out of here, khaki man. I'm over it. And with that being said,
yes.
when it comes to this college shit, I'm dropping the mic. Bizzle man, and any thoughts of me just letting the Mac off, or would you like to talk about your beloved Southern Miss to the top? I'll leave it up to you.
You know what?
I said it.
All I'm going to say is that I do believe that my alma mater, Southern Miss, needs to accept the invite to a bigger conference.
Yes.
They're doing really well recruiting down there right now. Coach Hops is doing an amazing job. Like I knew he would. He's a player coach. Yep. He's a man of his word. Kids love to play for him, and that's a hell of a trait when it comes to college football. So Southern Miss, I've been saying it for the longest. We got invited to the SEC twice when I was playing ball at Southern Miss, and Coach Bauer never accepted. I never understood that. I don't understand why we haven't jumped to a bigger conference to boot. So Southern Miss, I wish y'all luck. Have a great year. I'll be down there for a couple games if I can. But Southern Miss to the top all day. I just want better for my school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and give the reviewers out there who might be curious how we looking for a young Jaleel? How we looking out there in Fresno? What's the good word?
It's a no fly zone out of Reedley College now. No fly zone. It's a wrap. He should, if not start, he should be the starting nickel.
Okay.
So if he's not holding down one of the right or left corner spots, he should be the starting nickel. He's doing his thing, man. He's progressing. He's getting stronger. He's learning the system. He's improving and showing improving the coaches that he belongs. And it's good stuff going on out there, man. I can't wait. The first game is the first weekend of September. I will be in Santa, somewhere out there in the Bay. I want to say it's like Santa Ana or some shit. But
nice.
Yeah, first game of the season, man. We'll be out there checking them out. The Tigers of Reedley College.
There it is. Salute to him. He's making plays.
Yes, sir.
And kind of putting a bow on the college football talk, because we do have something to touch on here with basketball real quick before we go into our first special advertisement announcement.
Right.
Just look at the preseason polls. Listen, we get it, reviewers. This shit shakes up. There ain't no telling how it's going to shake out. Usually outside of maybe the top four.
Right.
I'll just read off the top 10. Kind of get your thoughts on this. So. Working from 10 to 1, you got Auburn, Penn State, Miami, Wisconsin, Washington, Oklahoma, Georgia, the Buckeyes, Clemson, and Bama.
Hmm.
Now, just looking at that, how do you think shit shakes? I personally think Miami may very well end up. Miami and Georgia are the sleepers, to be honest with you.
All right.
That's what I think. Where are you at with that shit?
You know what, man? The teams that are there, like Bama, they're gonna do what they do. Bama, right. Clemson, these cats are gonna do what they do. You know, right. So you ain't even, you can pretty much roll that up and smoke it. It's Miami, Miami. For me, the jury's still out on Miami. You know, they have a great young class. And a great young team. They're dynamic. Their offense was decent last year, but it was decent, but it wasn't big enough to run with the big dogs. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't as efficient as a Alabama offense or a Clemson offense or hell, even Washington, you know what I'm saying, who's up there. And they deserve to be because their defense is like crazy. Their offense is a question mark too. So... they got the top 10 ranked pretty well. Penn State's going to be solid. They've really developed a pretty good thing out there. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't front.
They've developed a pretty good thing out there. And I was just anxious to see it, man. Like, I love watching college football, especially when it's the big dogs. Oklahoma, I don't think they're going to be as good as people think they are.
I agree.
I mean, Baker Mayfield was a lot for that team.
Yeah, he was.
I know the young kid they got there, I know he's dynamic. The kid that transferred from Texas A&M. He's dynamic, but he's a little dude. He get rocked. It's a wrap for him.
Right. And with Bama, it's like they're, I don't know, dude. So you got to explain this to me, reviewers. If you can drop it in the comments, somebody explain it to me. how a team like Bama that can recruit as well as they can recruit, how come they never have a guaranteed quarterback?
Right.
Now it's Jalen versus Tua. Well, and then Tua came in the national championship game and won it for him.
And my thing about that is that's fucked up for Jalen because that man has won what, two championships before that?
I think you're right.
Yeah. So Jalen has won two championships. And so he had a bad year because he didn't have a very productive year last year. He was kind of on a decline. And then the championship game, they weren't sparking. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. So Nick Saban did exactly what a college coach was supposed to. His quarterback's suffering. He brought in the backup quarterback. The kid played well. Now, here's the question. Is this kid, what's his name, Tua?
Yeah.
Is he going to be ready for the full-on war that is the SEC? Sure. We ain't talking about the fucking playoffs where you're going to see a totally different type of team than you're accustomed to seeing all year.
Yeah.
So is he going to be ready for the war that is the SEC? Because that shit in itself is war. You got Georgia. Just to look at the top 10, Georgia and fucking Auburn. Are you ready for that? You ready for that drama? Because that shit is real.
Yeah.
You know, the LSU, like, come on, man. Like, Jalen got that experience. If I'm coach, if I'm him, I'm starting Jalen the first of the year. If Jalen doesn't show me what I want to see in two games, three maybe, then we'll put the Tua kid in and rock with him for the rest of the year. But I'm not sold on this kid yet. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants, you know, the best position on any football field is a backup quarterback. Right. Everybody loves a backup quarterback. So.
Oh, he's a savior.
Oh, without a doubt.
Until he goes in the game and throws a pick.
Right, until he fucks up and they're like, hey, put the starter back in. What the fuck? What you doing? You stupid. So, the top 10 is pretty, they got it pretty much mapped out pretty well. Auburn's going to surprise a bunch of people. They are a tough football team. In the next couple of years, they're going to be even tougher. They got a hell of a class coming in next year. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be, interesting. Wisconsin, not really sold on them. Yeah. You know, they have a solid team. They got a lot of kids coming back. But still, I don't know. Hopefully my boy Kyrae Lyles will get to start at quarterback out there.
Right. That'll be very interesting too, because week one they got Michigan Notre Dame playing again. For a few years they weren't playing, and now they have Notre Dame. And come on, NCAA coaches poll, get the fuck out of here. You do this shit. They do this shit every year. They put Notre Dame always way too high every year.
They got them number 11.
And number 11. You gotta be shitting. Michigan State number 12. Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Like, come on, man. And that's not even hate. That's just, I'm being real.
It's real.
Like,
I mean, they gotta
earn those rights.
Yeah, rightfully, SC should be up there somewhere. You know, the way they finished last year. And then honestly, they got Michigan State up there. Like, come on, man. Are they basing this on classes coming in or starters coming back? Or?
You know who I'm surprised is not ranked? And I think we talked about in terms of I think we were getting into a little bit of Last Chance U last episode, and I think he got some of the kids from I want to say Lane Kiffin got a few of the kids from Scuba. I'm surprised Florida Atlantic didn't crack the top 25.
No, they got votes. They will never. I don't see that happening. It's just simple because it's a lot more they got to prove. They had a decent season, you know what I'm saying? You can't just throw them up there just like that. Nah.
Not even 25?
Nah.
They really got to crack it?
Not as good as college football is right now. Now, if it was, if the big dogs were sucking, then Florida Atlantic could sneak in there. Because they did make a little hay last year, but not enough. Yeah, not enough.
You got to show and prove there, Lane.
Give me 2 years. You know what I'm saying?
That slick haircut ain't gonna do it.
Right.
You got to show and prove, baby.
Slick hair in the mean mug ain't gonna get it.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of elite players, and we'll touch base on this before we drop in our first special advertisement announcement. There's been a development in them greasy song bitches that are the NCAA and how they treat their players. Now, this is fairly new, and I'm sure as anything else, we ain't going to jump out the window because this is very likely subject to change.
All right.
So here's the deal, reviewers. If you haven't heard this, apparently what's been happening is old, to quote Dave Chappelle, old Condalanga's Rice fucking led a commission to help clean up college football, or basketball, rather. So apparently what's been happening is college players who are considered to be and you use the quotes elite players,
right,
which is apparently going to be decided by the NCAA, which is kind of ice, but whatever. If you, you can actually declare from the draft, you can actually declare for the draft, and you can actually sign with an agent while you're still in school.
Right.
But if you go undrafted,
you can go back
claiming
to school.
That you can return to school.
Right. And this is this is you know what? It's a good and a bad thing, because there are guys that are hyped up and they do go out way too early based on what people are saying. And we see a player, we're like, yo, this kid gonna get 8 in the NBA. He don't get drafted. We don't hear shit else from him.
Yeah.
He can't even get back in school because he's declared his eligibility for professional basketball, which means that his amateurism is going out the window. So now the kid has to go overseas and play ball in fucking Israel or some shit.
Right.
I think it's okay. The only part that I like about it is that they can get back in school. The whole getting the agent thing, well, it's like the Lords of London contract.
Putting insurance on yourself.
Right, the personal insurance for yourself. You're not going to get Lords of London unless you're a guaranteed first 10 pick. Straight
up. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, are we just doing this for the top 10 picks?
Right.
Are we doing it for the highly touted, oh, this kid could go? It's too many gray areas in that. It's too many to just say that it's going to be a constant.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm curious to see if they can make, if they can find a way to make work. You already know it's NCAA, so it's going to be clunky as fuck, and probably in at least early on fuck over the kids in a certain degree. But if they manage to trip and fall into a good resolution with this shit, I'm wondering how that would trickle over to football players,
right,
given the fact that unlike the NBA, like you said, you have to go play for the fucking Kuwait Koala Bears or some shit if you fuck your life up. In the NFL now, by 2019, and then by 2020, if you look at the fucking Koala Bears, 2019 to 2020, now there's going to be two more professional leagues in America. There's going to be the AAF, and then, yes, reviewers, there's going to be the XFL.
Yes.
So there's going to be more jobs for players who don't necessarily want to be on the fucking practice squad,
right,
or go play Canadian football.
And I think that's
so pretty, I wonder how that may work.
I think that's pretty sweet as far as for football. You know, I hated the NFL Europe got canceled. I thought that was a really sweet deal. Now, the Alliance Football League is being made to literally rival the NFL. They're not some bullshit supplement league. They're trying to make this league for real to rival the NFL. The XFL, I think people will never respect it. It's going to always be a joke just because of the way it came out at first.
Yeah.
You know, they played themselves at first, so people are never going
to
respect it.
They're trying to be family friendly now. That's
right,
the whole brand.
Exactly.
It's like,
right.
Well, you came out with fucking He Hate Me and all this WWF shit.
Right. So people will never take it serious. I give it a year, 2 years, and it'll be gone again. Because it's Alliance Football League. It's serious.
They're real coaches. They got real people.
They got people. Yeah, it's just like the supplemental league they had about 4 years ago. That, you know, they had like 16. They had a team in Vegas. This league, I can't remember the name of it, but they're for real. They're not playing. Mm-hmm. They're not playing. Mm-hmm. They're serious about what they're doing. They had a draft the other day. I was keeping eyes on. I follow them on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I think it's awesome. I think especially that it's on U.S. soil, that it's in the United States of America. It's another vessel for people to be able to watch professional football, and it's not no bullshit. It's gonna have a lot of NFL rule. It's not going to be like unfamiliar football. It's going to be football as we know it. So as far as kids in college go, and this whole, if you're, you know, big time, you can get an agent, and then if you don't get drafted, you can go back to school. I don't know. I still think it's going to be too much fault. It sounds fucked up just listening. Just listening to myself say it sounds fucked up.
Right.
You know?
Right. Sodom and Gomorrah, baby.
Perfect heat.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, man, we'll see what fucking shakes with that shit. But, you know what I'm saying? In terms of not playing around, we're not playing around, because when we come back,
not never.
Oh, baby, we're a couple weeks into preseason. We got to talk about this helmet rule. We got to talk about the fuck's happening on Hard Knocks. There's a lot of shit happening in this motherfucking bitch fucking, in the NFL.
Fucking, this fucking helmet rule is stress.
Oh, yeah. No, listen. You already know. We're about to take off on it. So don't you worry, viewers. Okay. Me and the big fella got something to say about this. So you stick around. Don't you touch that dial. No. Don't you touch that phone.
Don't
just
do
pick
it.
Up your phone to check your messages. Tell that bitch to put it down. So we're going to get something to eat. We're going to Red Lobster. And you're going to enjoy the biscuits, goddammit.
That's right.
We are not playing around. Mm-hmm. Cheddar biscuits. We might get it on a t-shirt. Cheddar biscuits. Cheddar man.
Not the cheddar biscuits.
Reviewers, keep rocking with us. Again, make sure to subscribe on iTunes. 5-star rate. Right now. Do it. Right now. Stop playing around. 5-star rate. Follow us at JB and Benny Blue. And when we come back, we're going to get into all that. So stick around. You are listening to the JB and Benny Blue Review Podcast. And we'll be right back.
Love.
What's good, reviewers? It's your man, Benny Blue, and football season is back, and we want to make sure we touch as many new reviewers as possible, and we need your help to do it, so please go to iTunes right now, give us a 5-star rating that helps us climb the charts, and make sure we reach as many savages out there from sea to shining sea. If you don't have iTunes, you can also check us out on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, CastBox, and iHeartRadio, and also make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well, and follow us at JB and Benny Blue on all social media. 5-star rate us on iTunes now. Reviewers, what's good, people?
Yeah.
We're back.
Yeah.
JB and Benny Blue Review Podcast. We appreciate you rocking with us. However you're listening, however you're checking us out, we appreciate you because we are the review.
Right.
And we are for the fucking people.
Always.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out to everybody listening. Shout out to all our sponsors. Shout out to everyone supporting us. Make sure to follow us at JB and Benny Blue.
Right.
Yeah, man. 5-star rate us. Subscribe on iTunes. All that good shit. You already know what to do. You ain't children.
Right.
You're fucking savages.
We ain't got to hold your hand.
With us. Yeah, if you're fucking with us, you're getting some real motherfucking game on what's happening here in the wide world of football. First, we're talking about college, and now we're taking it, we're the professional like DJ Clue in this bitch.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Our beloved NFL. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Taking it to the league, and guess what? Preseason, we're already 2 weeks through.
It's in full effect.
We got a lot of shit happening.
It's in full effect.
A lot of shit to talk about. So let's get right into it, bro. It's fucking preseason, week one, week two.
Mm.
Savage recap.
Mm-hmm.
Cue the fucking music. Blah!
Dun, 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 dun.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes. Week one, week two. All right, right off the bat, let's go over what we've seen from our squad. So in a previous episode, we were just getting past the Hall of Fame game. Now we have 2 weeks of preseason in the can.
Right.
Starting with the Bird Gang. Bird Gang had a spirited match against the Chargers in week one, followed by playing the Saints in week two. Bizzler, so far, preseason, but there's been some shit happening.
Yes,
what have you liked, and what have you seen that needs to improve from the Boy Gang?
The one thing that I see from jump that tickles my fancy is the offensive line is playing with a little gumption there, boy. Alright. Playing with a little nasty. I knew Ray Brown was the guy when they said that they signed Ray Brown as offensive line coach. I was with it. He is old school. He brings that old school flavor. He played the league. He was a nasty motherfucker when he played, and he's a nasty coach. You see it starting to relay onto the field. Even DJ Humphries is getting, you know, his technique is beginning to be more consistent.
Yeah.
Andre Smith is looking good. He looks like he's in decent shape. The kid Pugh from New York looking good. We got the rookie from York, Michigan looking mm-hmm. good. He's had to fill in that center because AQ Shipley got hurt.
That's right.
And then we got Lapati over there, the seasoned vet, the Pro Bowler, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. who's looking better than he's looked in a long time. Mm-hmm. They are moving people, all right, and that is beautiful. David Johnson, first game, he had 2 runs, 14 yards a pop. This game here against the Saints, David Johnson was hitting them. They had one that was so beautiful. And as offensive lineman, you love to see shit like this. He got stopped on like the 4. The offensive line pushed him in the end zone. Right?
Oh, pushed him in.
It was a big mosh put and big mosh pile. And the boys just shoved him on in the end zone. But that's what you like to see. As far as the quarterback situation, Sam Bradford, we know. As long as he's standing up, the motherfucker can throw a fucking BB through a fucking a needle hole. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's that good.
Right.
As long as he's standing up, as long as he's healthy. The receiving core, good. Tight ends, it's gonna be okay. Defense surprised me. Like, they're flying around, man. They are really aggressive on defense. The defensive front is showing me some good things. And that was one of my concerns. I said it on previous podcasts, is our defensive front, not our outside rushers with Chandler Jones. We know Golden will be back. It was Ndichie. It was Peters. Those guys on the inside have to make some hay. They have to be able to get penetration. They have to be able to get to the quarterback. We can't depend on Chandler Jones and Golden to get to the quarterback at all times. Defensive backfield-wise, the kid that we got from the Browns is working out really well. Can't remember his name. And then, of course, Pat P. Antoine Bethea, beautiful back there. And then we got the kid from the L.A. Chargers, the kid with the dreads. Safety. He's working out real well. I'm pleased. There's nothing that I see right now that's concerning me. I'm just pleased right now. So if we can continue to put games together week to week, that's all I care about. You know, I feel like we're going to be okay. Definitely going to fare well in the West, which is going to be one of the most competitive divisions, whether people believe it or not. I'm still not sold on the Rams. On paper, they're going to be the shit. But you in very football, true. In football, you got to put all that together. One of the cats.
You can't write them W's, guys.
No, without a doubt. One of the cats on ESPN made a great point about how when free agents come in, like high caliber free agents, like the ones that they got, you know, they become like mercenaries. You know what I'm saying? So it's no cohesion. There's no love. They're just out there playing.
Right.
So, you know. The West is going to be wild. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely going to be how the West was won this year. It's going to be a saga. It's going to be a movie. It's going to be a soap opera. But I'm not really worried about my Red Bears. I feel like we're going to be okay. What's going on in Detroit?
First, I was going to ask you, because I think the AQ Shipley injury happened in between our last episode and this episode.
It did.
How have you noticed in terms of you being so well-versed in the chemistry, the way the offensive line moves as a unit and has to have that relationship with each other to know each other's, not only their assignments, but their tendencies of how they play.
Right.
What have you seen in terms of their response, not only to that injury, but also getting David Johnson back? And do you think in a weird way it's kind of lifted them to play maybe even above their ability?
Well, of course, as you lose the AQ Shipley, who is he's a field general. And then having a rookie as his backup, all those things are weird, right? All those things are just you see it. It's like 2 + 2 = 5. It don't add up. Right. You don't think it's gonna fare very well. Well, having David Johnson back is the biggest plus ever. So having two veterans around this rookie is amazing. You got Pugh, you got Lapati. Hey, the kid is ready to play ball now. Don't get me wrong. He went to your Big Blue. You know what I'm saying? The kid is a stud. And he's doing good things. Smart. I think that they're not really depending on him to make a lot of calls and all that stuff, because you have Pugh, who is smart, who is a center/guard. And he's kind of helping him out as far as seeing things on the field. So, and then having David Johnson back, all you got to do is just hold on to your block for 3 seconds. And this kid is doing big things. So
it's
big pot of gumbo, but it's starting to, you know, it's damn near ready.
Yeah, it's starting a little bit of seasoning there, starting to taste good.
All right.
There it is. All right, so that's the Bird Gang. And as you asked, as far as my kitties go, so week one we had and then we had the fucking the G man. Now, honestly, call me superstitious, man. I don't care. I actually prefer it when my kitties don't like run the table in preseason.
Right.
Because history has shown when they go like 4-0 in preseason. The regular season really ain't too good. Sometimes, and you probably noticed this when you played. Actually, I don't think we ever really talked about this before.
Right?
Have you noticed like when you played, when if you won, like so let's say four preseason games, right? Say you go 3-1,
right?
Right? Do you think when you were a player, and maybe from a coach's perspective as well, do you think that honestly can kind of hurt you a little bit because it's harder to identify mistakes?
Sometimes it can, because a win makes everything better, right?
Exactly.
So people tend to overlook things when you win that you wouldn't overlook when you lose. It's exactly correct. But good coaches know that preseason games are just that. They're just preseason games,
right?
So we have to look at everything. It's got to be a fine-tooth comb. Every little thing has to be magnified. So I don't really care. You know, the thing, you know, be real with you, preseason games are won by the 2s and 3s. All right, bottom line.
Oh, yeah, they're
so
fighting.
So it's got nothing to do with your starters. You don't see the starters. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, let's be real. You might see the starters for a combined four quarters in the preseason. Because, you know, the first game they play, maybe a series that they play at all. Second game they play two series to a quarter. Third game, a lot of teams play their starters for a whole half. And then the fourth, you don't see them at all. So you might see your one offense and one defense for a combined maybe four or five quarters in the preseason. That's not enough to gauge what's really going on. And then, of course, during the regular season, game planning comes in and so on and so forth. And it's just different. So I was never really superstitious there was never really a superstition as far as like, oh, we better suck in the preseason so we can, you know, analyze everything. No, you just understand that, again, twos and threes win preseason games. So fine tooth comb everything. And then once that season starts, then we get into the regular season shit.
Right. And there it is. That's the best way of putting it. Where you have perspective on it. Again, it's all washing tape. And like you said, it's a cats really trying to make a team,
right,
that are ultimately going to win those games. You just got to make sure, like you said, you don't get lulled to sleep by the wins, and you don't get too low from the losses.
That's right.
So there it is. Now, how it specifically relates to the kiddies, they drop both those games, but that's fine because again, I think you get a little bit more data from that. Obviously, you don't want to drop them in the regular season, but hey, if you're going to do it now.
Right.
In terms of, we'll start with the things that I think need to improve. Definitely consistency at the line of scrimmage. Offensive line wise, you got to give credit because traditionally, as Bizzleman knows, the kiddies have been notorious for not investing as much as they probably could have and should have in improving off their offensive line.
Right.
It is a actual fact. We're rare reviewers of old, as you know, we're rare around this bitch with exact deep dive stats. You know that we do the eye test. We definitely use some stats and numbers, but we're not the analytics nerds. Matthew Stafford has been sacked more times than any other quarterback, I believe, over the last 10 years.
Right.
He's been smacked around over, and he's going into his 10th year now. So he's at that point in his career where it's like, come on, man, let's make something happen for this dude. They've really invested in their offensive line, but it's hot and cold, right? Whereas they brought in some real playmakers at running back. The running game is starting to improve, but it's one play on, one play off.
Right.
They gotta clean that shit up with the pass block and run blocking. Defensive line, there are some legit studs on there, but that's kind of the same thing with them. They've been hot and cold on their pass rush and with stopping the run. I want to see more out of Zettel and Ziggy Ansah. I mean, he's a Pro Bowler. I mean, he's gonna be one of those like big contract dudes coming up. I believe they franchise tagged him this year,
right,
which makes sense. But he's gonna get his money either from us or somebody else in a year or two from now, guaranteed. So that's gonna happen. In terms of some of the receivers, we already know what we got in Marvin Jones. We already know what he got in Golden Tate. Kenny Galladay is a future star.
Right.
Kenny Galladay is going to be a star. He's one of those diamond in the rough cats. TJ Jones, you've been on the team for a while. I'm going to tell you flat out, you're about to lose your spot to Chase Billingsley.
It's his third year?
Third or fourth year.
Yeah.
He's been dancing around that third or fourth option. He really hasn't been consistent.
Yeah, you're about to get cut, buddy.
You're kind of looking like how Corey Coleman was looking on the last episode of Hard Knocks, which we'll get to here in a second. You might not be in the team player. Like the one thing about the Lions, and I know this is probably true for every team, but the Lions have a few of these cats that are kind of fringe third string practice squad guys,
right,
who really work their fucking ass off.
Right.
Like they really bust their ass. And one of these cats, brother, is gonna take your spot.
Oh, easy.
Like you're at that point now where it's right, like you're not number one, number two, number three. Those are already locked down.
Oh.
So if you want to make this team,
third, fourth year, bro. If you're not making no hay in your third or fourth year, you're gonna get cut, and you're gonna start floating around unless you go somewhere and you stick and you show them that you're ready to play ball. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So TJ, you either better make some real plays on special teams or just really find a role because it might be over for you, dude. So, I mean, I don't wish anybody to lose their job, but, you know, again, it's a preseason. Hey, we going from fucking 90 to 75 to 53.
Right.
So don't play yourself on that end. In terms of the good stuff, Yeah, man. I mean, Stafford. That's already checked off. He's elite. If you want to argue that, you're a fucking moron. He's elite. He's top five in like all the most important categories for a quarterback. And like I said, look it up. It's fact. He is the most sacked quarterback in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Over the last decade. He's doing all that shit still. So don't play yourself. Running game. I got to say, I'm very pleased to have LeGarrette Blount. Kerryon Johnson, the rookie, the cat that we drafted, you know, he's learning, he's developing his patience. He'll get there. I like what you see. I got to tell you, I've always been kind of confused about Theo Riddick to a certain degree. I'm like, what is his real position on the team? I got to tell you, and this for anyone that's going to be in our fantasy league, if I had to give you some advice, if you want one of those, I don't know what you call, like the WR position, or the one that's like, you know what I mean? The position a receiver or a tight end or running back.
Yeah.
If you're drafting for that position, I would strongly advise you put Theo Riddick in there. Because Theo Riddick is arguably one of the best, if not the best, receiving running backs in the league.
Right.
He might not be the best, but he's top five.
Right.
For sure.
And I promise you the fact that Matt Patricia is the head coach, you know, it's that tree, that Bill Belichick tree, is the branches are long and they're thick. So the check down is extremely important. I don't know who the office coordinator is, but the check down is extremely important.
Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter, I promise you. Yep. So with a guy like Riddick, the screen game is going to be popping, and the check down is going to be popping. So, yeah, that's a major key alert right there.
Yeah. Now, I am slightly concerned about the tight ends. We've had some kind of hits and misses. They let Eric Ebron go. He plays for the Colts now. You know, they've been let Pettigrew go. So, I mean, it's I don't know. Stafford's got to have a decent security blanket, because, fuck, I already saw that combination, that lethal combination happening from the cheese eaters. That we'll say potentially lethal with the Jimmy Graham, Aaron Rodgers thing.
You already know. That's not potentially lethal. You're going to see that more than you want to see it this season.
So we have to have our answer to that. And honestly, I'll be honest. Shout out to my guy, Brian, our friend that we actually did Defending Our List. I opened for him. He shot his first comedy album yesterday.
Sweet.
And after the show, I was having this debate with a couple of Pats dude fans afterwards at the bar after the show. I got to tell you, and JB knows, like he was saying, from that Belichick coaching tree, Patricia, the jury's still out, bud.
Right.
Like, the jury's still out. Can you develop an identity with this team?
Right.
Can you get everyone on the same page? Because I got to tell you, that scouting report of coaches and coordinators who leave Belichick, it ain't a guarantee.
No, not
so,
at all.
So I got to see, like, it's going to be very telling to see how Patricia can go from the MIT guy with the giant beard looking like he's homeless with a fucking pencil in his ear, drawing up the plays,
right,
to being the true leader of men, and how he brings the whole team together.
Right.
So I'm going to give him, you got to give him a chance. It's his first year, but man, the Lions are one of those teams where it's like, we can't keep dancing around 9-7, 10-6, 9-7, 10-6. I can't keep playing this game anymore.
Right.
Like I said, Stafford's in his 10th year now. We have to win a playoff game. We have to do something. So overall, I think for both of our squads, we're going to be better than people think. And some of the teams at the quote-unquote top aren't going to be as good as people think.
Right.
But overall, I think, and I was having this debate after my show last night as well, and I'm curious to get your opinion on this for the whole league overall. I think in total, the whole league is better. I think the entire league is better this year.
My question is, go ahead.
I was going to ask you. Well, no, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say about the preseason. Like, the preseason has been really good this year. Probably the best preseason I've seen in a long time. And not just saying as far as like rookies showing up. That's a big part of it, but honestly, like, teams are coming out and they're like showing what they got a little bit. I was happy to see the Patriots come out and really just like take it to the Eagles. You know, even though I'm an old Eagle, it was just good to see that they didn't lay down and just say, "Hey, regular season, yeah, we'll get it cracking." You know, oh yeah, y'all beat us in the Super Bowl. Regular season, we'll get it cracking. But right now, we're gonna try to hide everything. Nah, Belichick put together a nice little plan for what they need to do to beat the Eagles, and it was what it was. So, yeah, man, it's going to be good shit. The season, and I told you this, in the offseason, I kept saying it. I just want this to be a super competitive season, which right. kind of segues us to Hard Knocks. All right.
Well, I was going to ask you before that, and I was having this debate before we get into a team that was legitimately, legitimately bad last year, the Browns and Hard Knocks.
The last 18 years. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, basically. The factory sadness, as they call it. Shout out to the land. Cleveland.
All right. That's Cleveland. Right.
Who do you think, and AFC, NFC, and this might not be as easy an answer as the reviewers might think. Who legitimately do you think is going to be the worst team in either of those conferences?
Wow, NFC, AFC.
It's an interesting question this year now, right? Because the Browns, they're not going to be that bad.
Yeah,
they're not going to be amazing, but they're not going to be 0-16.
Very interesting. I think that I don't think Tennessee is going to fare very well this year in the AFC. And in the NFC, let me see. It's going to be, like I said, I don't think Tennessee is going to fare very well in the AFC. Mm-hmm. And in the NFC, I don't think the Vikings are going to be as good as people think they're going to be this year. Now, that's just a little side note. The worst team in the AFC.
But the worst team.
The worst team in the NFC. I can see it. Honestly, I can see it being.
I wonder if you're going to say
what I'm thinking. Hold on. I'm running through divisions right now in my head.
I want to say it, but I want you to say yours first. Ooh, this is a thinker.
Yeah, I'm really thinking.
I told you, right? Yeah. That's why I had to say it before we started talking about Hard Knocks.
I'm really
like,
thinking
who
on this
really
one,
is
like,
bad? Yeah. Or, like, going to be the worst?
I gotta actually see the team, so I'm finna go through the week two, so I can.
You know what? Look at the teams. Let me tell you mine. I think the two worst teams, one AFC, one NFC.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be the Bengals and Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
I think
Bay.
They're gonna be bad. I think Tampa both of them Bay. Are gonna be bad. Maybe not like Browns last year bad, but like 2-3 wins, like no culture,
right?
Not going anywhere,
right.
Yeah.
I think that also another team.
Those are my picks.
Also another team I don't think is going to be very good in the AFC is the Broncos. I don't think Case Keenum is that guy, and I just don't think they have enough going on right now to just really solidify and say, hey, this is who we are, what we're going to do. The worst team in the NFC, the Redskins have my vote.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I can see the Redskins.
I really think it's gonna be Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay has a great argument. That's a great argument.
They got a coach. They got a coach hot seat. Jameis is again in the news for the wrong reasons, and I know that shit's trickling over. However much they want to deny it,
right?
I don't think they're getting the most out of their playmakers. And I don't really think they have an identity. And I think they're playing a real tough division.
You want to hear something funny? I forgot that they had DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
Then that's saying something. I forgot they even had the dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I see him make a play on ESPN in the preseason. I'm like, damn, this dude still play for them? Like, I thought he was gone. I didn't know what the fuck to think. So, no, that's a real deal. I can see it.
Yeah, because you got to figure they got Saints, Panthers, and Falcons. They're not winning. They're last in the division.
I can see it.
Like,
I can see it.
Yeah, and then the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to finish last because Baltimore is going to be improved.
They are.
Cleveland's clearly going to be improved,
and the
Steelers. You already know what time it is to them.
Pittsburgh going to do what they do. So.
Yeah. They, I mean, you know, listen. We talk reviewers of old. You already know. We've been, as JB said. I actually, when I was having this debate with the cats after the show, I told them what you said on the show, where Marvin Lewis has got some dirt on the owner.
He's got some dildo
up his ass in a fucking chicken costume pictures or some shit.
That boy got something. It is whatever he got. It's juicy.
Yeah.
I just looked looked at the longest 10 years the other day. They were talking about it. Marvin Lewis has been there for what, 16 years?
Jesus.
Because Belichick's been there for 19.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. But I'm saying, like, so he's been there for 16 years?
Yeah.
And they had how many times they went to the playoffs?
Wow. Yeah. not many. They were caught recently, but they haven't done. They haven't done anything. And like all these bad teams, they've all improved. Like the Jaguars were trash a couple years ago. They're a lot better. Cleveland's going to be a lot better.
Right.
Like a lot of these teams. Buffalo is going to be better.
Right.
And Buffalo made the playoffs last year.
Right. And the Bengals, who they?
who the fuck they?
Right. Who the fuck are they? Who this?
Yeah. So anyway, that's what we're thinking. But yes, as I so rudely cut off the Bizzle Man, he was leading us to it. In terms of shakeups, in terms of teams trying to find a fucking identity, we've been enjoying some Hard Knocks, as I'm sure you have been.
Yes, we have.
A couple episodes in the can. It's interesting. I got to say, man, like, you know, you were talking about in the first segment, some real Days of Our Lives shit in terms of what can happen on this preseason time.
Right.
They have some interesting characters and they have some interesting storylines. What's been, you know, as you sit in your player's palace live in the desert, what's been catching your attention in terms of what the old dog pound has been doing on camera?
Well, I just like the vibe of the place. Like, honestly, be real. I really just enjoy the vibe. And I know that they're not putting on for cameras because this is how NFL teams operate. They really, Hugh Jackson and the owner, Hugh Jackson, and the GM, like, they really, really want their team to be good, you know? And they're doing all the things that they need to, that's required to make their team better, to change the culture. Bringing in guys like Juice Landry and Tyrod Taylor, who is a natural leader. You know, to watch that kid. Yeah, to watch that kid. He's a leader, man. And that's dope. Right, that's dope. You know what I'm saying? You got Juice and Tyrod, and then you got the guys, the leaders on defense, like you got, you know, Jamie Collins Jr., Southern Miss to the top. You know what I'm saying? You just got a bunch of guys out there scrapping. And I believe... You know, I've been rooting for the Browns for like the last 3 years. The last two years.
Since, run those back.
Yeah, since Hugh got there, basically. So, we just, like I said, that just to watch it, the culture, and just to watch how guys are after each other's ass, how Hugh ain't taking no shit, how they just really want to change their culture, it's a pleasure to watch. It's a huge pleasure to watch.
Yeah. And now I think, from what I understand, Josh Gordon's going to be coming back. At least back on the team.
Yeah, he's back on the team. Yeah, still on PUP, I think, but he's back with the team.
Yeah. Now, if I'm Dorsey especially, or like more the personnel guys, I mean, GM Bridges hat. Fucking throw that shit on. If you are running the Browns, you got someone like Josh Gordon who's mega talented. We already know what time it is.
I'm not signing Dez Bryant. I know you act. I'm not signing Dez Bryant.
Well, no. I'm not even getting to that. Fuck Dez. I mean, Dez, it's whatever. You sign, you don't sign. You may be sitting on the couch this season. You may sign halfway through the season. Whatever. We ain't talking about that shit. As it relates to Josh, given his mental, how would you manage it in terms of with all them damn cameras around and him getting easing back into the team? Like you said, they're changing the culture. They really want to win.
Right. Well, I don't think Josh is mental is fucked up. I really just think that he needed to refocus on what was important. His mental state, as far as like, let's get this straight. Josh Gordon is not a fucking mental case. All right, he's not a nutcase.
True.
He has an addictive personality. All
right, right.
He was addicted to banned substances, drugs, whatever you want to call it, marijuana, alcohol. He has an addictive personality. So for him, it's about having something that's going to keep his mind away from the bullshit, right?
Right.
I don't think the cameras and all that shit is going to shake him up. I don't think he has anxiety issues and all that shit. I don't think that's the issue with him. I really just think that, you know, he was dependent upon those things for so long. They were such a part of his life that now he has to learn to get that out of his life. He has to learn to shake. I had a problem with alcohol, and I had to learn how to conquer that demon. It was such a part of my life. I've been drinking since I was 14 years old, and it was just regular to me. But I never knew I turned into another person when it happened. So that's the issue, right, with Josh Gordon. I think this kid is a talent. If they can keep his mind on football, and if he can stay mentally understanding who he is and what he can be, and why he's where he's at, he's going to be fine. And be real with you, if that kid wouldn't have had an issue with drugs, he would be the best receiver in the game, hands down, and would have been for the last 4 years. That dude is a monster, man. Yeah. So, yeah, he's going to be fine. I'm glad they didn't just throw him back into the fire. They let him get on, put him back on the team, PUP'd him. So now he'll have a week of practice. We probably won't see him in the third preseason game. He might play a couple snaps in the fourth. Honestly, I don't think we see him till week one. So, but the fact that he's there, the fact that he's back, that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And our special, speaking of episode one, obviously it's his family business. And, you know, people try to give Hugh Jackson a lot of shit because of his past 10 years as a coach, whatever. I think me and Bizzleman definitely want to see him succeed, especially with a franchise and fan base like Cleveland. Right. That would be dope. As much as I just basically took an entire shit on the state of Ohio in the first segment.
Right.
God damn it, Browns.
Browns,
get your shit together.
Browns, we fuck with you heavy.
Yep.
All right. And it's just for them, man. It's just like I said again a few minutes ago. I just want this league to be so fucking competitive. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday, I want to see motherfuckers getting after. I don't want to see motherfuckers win by no more than 4 points every week. I want it to be that fucking competitive of a season. That's what I need. That's what I need. And you know something? I just want to go off kilter for a minute.
Do it.
You know the whole kneeling situation and the whole NFL, you know, the fucking national anthem policy. Mm-hmm. You notice we ain't heard shit about that?
Yeah.
You notice we ain't heard shit about it? And the reason why we ain't heard shit about it is fucking Pumpkinhead is minding his business. Mm-hmm. All right, he got too much other shit to worry about in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
So when Pumpkinhead stays the fuck out of ours.
Right.
Look what happened.
Old Donnie. Yeah.
Let motherfuckers, Pumpkinhead people is y'all's president, Donald Trump, for people that don't know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm glad that they're not making a stink out of it. I'm glad the fucking media is staying out of it. Guys are kneeling. Guys are holding their fist up. It don't fucking matter. You know what I'm saying? Let teams deal with that shit how they deal with it, and that be that. Bottom line.
You know what it is, too? And I'm pretty sure it's going to be every network. I think they just agree.
They're not showing.
They're just not going to show the national.
They're not showing.
It's the easiest solution.
That's the best way
just
to do
it.
That's the best way
point,
to do it.
At this point, you might, if you really want it to blow over, even though the protest is important for what it actually stands for.
Right.
If you really want it to blow over in terms of the controversy and for the air quotes, the bottom line for the jury Joneses out there and all that bullshit. Just out of sight, out of mind at this point. We know what the protest is about.
Right.
There's been enough debate about it. We've already been through the bullshit.
Right.
Seems like forever. Let it go. It's enough. We know what it's about. Either support it or just don't show it at all. I mean, that's it. That's the only thing left to do. Speaking of fucking changes, because we talked about this independent production meeting already. The referees, we're putting you on notice right now. You better watch as much tape as you possibly can.
God.
The goddamn helmet rule, bro.
Now,
what
thing,
the fuck is good with this shit?
Here's the thing about the helmet rule right now, Ben, is that certain games you watch, it's all over the place.
Yep.
It's like 6-7 calls a game. Certain games you watch, you might not see it once. I think it's just subjective to the referee that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So, of course they're going to enforce it. And at times it has to be enforced, right? Because at times in football, you have cats that do lower their helmet and hit with the crown of their head, so on and so forth. The hit that I'm watching the Vikings game the other day, and the Vikings sacked the second string quarterback, he came through clean, kept his face up, lowered his shoulders, hit the dude in the midsection. And they called the helmet rule. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing? One of the cleanest hits I ever seen in football, right? I don't know if they call it roughing the passer or they called the helmet rule. They had to call the helmet rule because it was all over Twitter. Like, people was fucking tripping. So it comes to a point where, and this is nothing too. This is another thing. They said that it's going to be for running backs too. I haven't seen it called on one ball carrier yet.
Right.
One ball carrier, and they put their head down. Trust me when I say. Oh, they put their head down and you know what I'm saying, to initiate that contact. Because they know as a runner, you're taught to lower your shoulders, lower your head, so you basically become a missile. You know what I'm saying? So it's harder to tackle you. It's going to be one of those things, like it's going to be the catch rule to the 10th power. Certain refs are going to call it. Certain refs aren't. That's the way I see it. I see it happen like that already. Because in the preseason, again, certain refs have been calling it. Certain games you watch it again, it's five or six times they call it. Certain games you don't see it once. So
Right. And the problem is they're making black and white calls when there's so much gray area to get it right.
Right.
Because when you, it's like if you're going to review it and you're going to review it for minutes on end, you can, you know, body in a lot of ways, as you know from playing, body language can kind of tell you about intent.
Right.
And what someone was trying to do.
Of course.
So if a defender changes, or rather the ball carrier changes their body, but the defender is already in the process of making the play.
Right.
You can't, that you have to be fair to the defender. You know what I mean?
But they had that problem last year, like with receivers catching the ball, like the whole defenseless receiver thing. Like,
but this is more specific because with the helmet.
Right. So how do you, how do you gauge? You can tell if somebody lowers their helmet. That's easy to see.
Yeah.
If you lower your helmet to make contact, like this kid that played for the Jets, Lelunia, whatever his name is, he's a linebacker, right? He got two, and they had to sit him out of the game, right? Well, he got two personal fouls, two leading with the helmet. But his were blatant. Like, he was literally, like, putting his head down to the phone. Right when he got there, he lowered his head.
Tony Baker cram.
Right, and just boom, you know what I'm saying? Like, straight up cram, like lowering the boom on people. Like, straight up, those were blatant, and those are the ones that should be caught. Right, but Malcolm Jenkins had one in the New England game where they were like, "Oh, he could have pulled up on him." Okay, well, in the heat, it's easy to say that when you're looking.
Yeah, you can make him pull up when he's already like in. Right,
it's easy to say that when you looking at somebody when you're out from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
But the thing about defenders that try to get hits on receivers, they don't know if the ball's there or not a lot of times. Because very seldom do I see anybody hit somebody with their eyes wide open.
Right.
You know, at that point of contact, you pretty much close your eyes because you know you're there. So it's just human nature. You know what I'm saying? You're going to close your eyes. So, and a lot of times with the position that the defender's in, they don't know if the receiver has the ball or not.
Yeah.
So it's going to be touch and go. It's going to be very, very, very touchy-feely situation all year. It's going to sway the ballot in some games, and it's going to be fucked up to some people. But that's the NFL.
Hey, shout out to our regular season sponsor, MyBookie. Reviewers, right? I'm going to tell you right now, if you're betting on games, be careful. Do your research on teams and players that get those penalties.
Do your research.
Be careful.
Do your research on referees that call it.
That's very true.
Yeah, you might need to know who. You might need to know who the referee team is. And what their MO is as far as calling this, because if they call it, that can very easily sway the outcome of a game. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So do your research on the refs and how they're calling that shit, because that could fuck up your money. Trust and believe.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Like that.
And then just kind of finally putting a bow on what we've seen so far in the preseason. I mean, you know, not really a whole lot in terms of, I mean, you know, there's been a couple injuries, not terrible, all things considered,
right.
from past preseasons.
Knock on wood.
You know, and obviously, you know, and then obviously, you know, a lot of the key playmakers, it's preseason, so they're not really playing, so there's not really a lot to talk about with that. But there is that class of the rookie quarterbacks.
So
from what you've seen so far, if you're asking me, reviewers, if you're asking me, if I had to pick one quarterback that I think should legitimately start given the situation and I think is ready to start, honestly, my pick would be Josh Allen. I think he needs to start. I think Baker needs to be on ice.
Mm-hmm.
They're really hyping up Darnold, but I think Darnold needs to be on ice. And same thing with Rosen. I think Rosen's dope, but I think, like you said, if Bradford's upright, he can sling it. I think Rosen needs to be on ice. What are you thinking?
If you have the opportunity to give a quarterback a learning curve, do it, please.
Give it to him.
Please give it to him. Don't throw him out there in the fire if you don't have to. Now, with all things considered and all things said, Baker Mayfield, Darnold, Rosen, all these cats have looked good. Be real. They have all looked good in the preseason. All right? Allen has looked good. But like you said, I'm in agreement with you. I think he's the only one that really has the need to just start because they don't have, first of all, A.J. McCarron's got hurt. Yeah, he just got hurt. So they don't have any choice but to start this kid. All right? They have no choice but to start this kid. As far as everybody else, they got a veteran quarterback sitting in their face, right? Tyrod Taylor, they invested a lot of money in Tyrod in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You think he's not going to start? Crazy. He's going to start. Baker Mayfield, that's great that he's there and that he's picking everything up and that he's doing what he's doing. I told people before, and I told you one time before, you asked me, you know, you compared him to Johnny Manziel. I said, this kid's a different animal. You know, this kid's a totally different animal. He's not party guy. He's not fame guy. Just he's a little cocky, but he's not the guy that wants the fame and all that. He's a very humble kid, but he's an animal on that football field, and that's good stuff. They all of them are showing decent pocket presence. They're polished. They're right where they're supposed to be. There, it's good to see that because the next generation of NFL great quarterbacks has arrived. Right, so Tom Brady being 41, Aaron Rodgers is gonna play for quite a while, but he's still on the low end. He's on the decline. Who else in this thing? Matty Ice, he's gonna play for quite a while, but I mean, he's, you know, as long as he got Julio, he ain't really got shit to worry about.
Right.
And then, you know, so all these quarterbacks, Drew Brees is out the door almost. So the next generation of QBs has arrived. And it's good to see. You know, these guys are good. They're good. And it is awesome to watch. It really is.
Yep.
It is.
Yep. Well, viewers, you know, we're going to be fucking watching. We know you are too. So keep rocking with us as we get into the regular season. Coming up, that's right, our next episode, we will be back on the week-to-week schedule giving you the Savage Picks and so much more. Bizzle Man, before we sign off, anything special for the reviewers out there?
Nope. You know what I'm saying? We just...
He's like, nope. We said no.
Real shit, man. Just, you know, shout out to everybody, man. I posted a story on IG today, man, about positive vibes, man. Keep your vibes positive, man. Keep your mental positive. Stay high, man. Don't go low. Because people are going to try to drag you down. Misery loves company, people. Mm-hmm. Understand that. Understand that. Misery loves comfortable. And please don't believe everything that you see on Instagram. All right? Don't believe everything you see on Facebook. Don't believe everything you see on Twitter. You know, all those people that's putting shit out there like that are miserable. They're dirty-ass, miserable-ass people, right? But they want you to think that everything is rocking so smooth. Nope, not happening. Do your thing. Build behind the wall, always. Always build behind the wall. All people can do then is speculate about what you're doing.
Exactly. Not everybody has to see your fucking plans, people. Just make it happen. Don't get caught up in the finished product syndrome.
Because the fucked up part about that is the people that act like they're happy for you are really hating on you. Mm-hmm. And then some people just going to flat out put that negative energy on you. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
100%. Well, viewers, you know we're fucking with you because you're fucking with us because we're for the people. So again, make sure to follow us at JB and Benny Blue, jbandbennybluereview.com for all past episodes and content.
Yep.
Please subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, CastBox, Spotify, iHeartRadio. 5-star rate us on iTunes right now. Artists, keep sending us music, jbandbennybluereview@gmail.com.
Right.
And that's it. From the Savage Duo to you, we love you guys. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you rocking with us.
Yeah.
Next episode. Yeah.
And we out.
Peace.
At the Honda Summer Sales Event, one summer adventure leads to another. Start with a new Honda and be on your way to desert treks, lakeside getaways, and mountain paths so remote you need an actual map. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get 1.9% APR on the 2021 Honda Accord and 0% APR on the 2021 HR-V or Pilot.
Start your Honda safe adventure at NorCalHondaDealers.com.
See dealer for financing details.
Mondays. Just became Mondays. Mondays just got more exciting. Powerball now draws 3 days a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Play now.
Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.